from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Dave Eggers, author of a heartbreaking work of staggering genius, What is the What? And Zaytoun, is founder and editor of McSweeney's and also founded the A26 Valencia Writing Project back in 2002. Also a philanthropic activist, he became involved in a program called A26 National, which provided a handful of $10,000 scholarships each year to assist students in need to pay for the ever-escalating cost of a college education. And with those rising costs, up, by the way, nearly 40% in tuition in the CSU system just over the past 2 years, and with the recession, Dave Eggers realized that the need for college financial help had grown far greater than any of us might have imagined. You may have heard the recent NPR story on the increased amount of hunger and homelessness among the college and university student population. So in May, Dave Eggers initiated scholarshipmatch.org, a website for needy Bay Area high school students that enables them to match up with potential donors. And Dave Eggers joins us in studio for this half hour to discuss this exciting new enterprise. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
And Mille Ulegre is also with us. She's the executive director of scholarmatch.org. Thank you for being with us.
Hello. Thank you.
Glad to have you both aboard here. And let's begin by talking a little bit about the genesis of this, Dave. By the way, congratulations on the new McSweeney's book. It's beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, this is all the art from McSweeney's. You just realized with those $10,000 scholarships, too many in need, huh?
Well, every year we would give anywhere from 3 to 5 $10,000 scholarships, and we would get, 100 or more applications for those 3 or 5 spots, depending on our funding. That year, we would give as many scholarships as we could, and there were so many extraordinary applications, so many incredible kids that were applying, and it was this. Terrible moment every year that we would realize we'd sit around this table and be only able to help 3 of these students, and then the other 97, we thought, well, we just weren't sure if they would end up in school in the fall, what would happen, where they would put their tuition money together, how they would do it. And so I just started thinking of a way to kind of expand the reach and try to help more of the students that we knew well and knew needed tuition assistance. So Scholar Match was an idea to kind of use the lessons of Kiva.org and Kickstarter and some other websites that try to get the community involved in a common purpose and try to get people to pool their funds together to help somebody or help, in this case, with tuition needs. And so we have the same students that apply for our scholarships posted their profiles on Scholar Match, and then we invite visitors to the site to register as donors and then commit funds to their education. And it's been pretty great so far. We've been able to send 10 more students to college in the fall, and we're hoping to send many more before school starts in late August.
This is a test run for the summer, and you're dealing a lot with Oakland Unity, huh?
Yeah, well, Unity High School is one of our first schools that we worked with. We started with this is sort of a beta test period where we started with a limited amount of high schools that we know well, that we work with a lot at A26 Valencia, and Unity High School was one of them.
Mission High
is one, John O'Connell. Mm-hmm. And mostly schools right around here in the Mission area at Lowell and some others. And, we're still trying to interest as many members of the community at large as possible.
Well, we'll do that for sure today. In fact, let's talk about with you, Mille, how it works. I mean, students who are interested essentially put their profiles up.
Yes.
And then donors kind of look for the students, and there's a matching that goes on?
Yes. Students fill out online profiles, which then goes to Scholar Match for review, and then we put up our students on the site. Potential donors can view these students on scholarmatch.org. And then when a potential donor is ready to donate, they can donate one of two ways. They can either have Scholar Match them with a scholar, or they can earmark their donation to a specific student.
Now, the important thing that people ought to understand about this is the money doesn't go to the student, student's pocket or pocketbook. It goes right to the bursar and right to the admissions people.
Yeah. Exactly.
So there's certainly, and there are monthly records that are given to the benefactors?
Well, what happens is once a student gets a donor or that student is responsible for updating their donor about their progress in college. Everything is done through Scholar Match. So we become the intermediary between the donor and the student and the student and the school. And then we also, the student puts in their update through their Scholar Match profile, which then gets sent off to their donors.
And students can have multiple donors. A student Correct. Can have multiple donors, right?
Of all the students that we've been able to fully fund, all of them have been able to be funded through the generosity of multiple donors.
So right now, Dave, you've got this throughout the Bay Area, but you're hoping eventually to get to the seven other 826 states?
Yeah, we'll start in Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti in a few weeks with a limited number of students that we know are still trying to put their tuition money together in the next month or so. So they'll post their profiles very soon. And ideally, we expand out to the other 826 cities. But right now we're trying to increase the general participation so we have a higher ratio of students being funded so it's not too many students for too few donors. We're hoping to sort of better that ratio. But
aren't you hoping for about 100 by the fall?
That was our goal. You know, we have 10 so far. We'll see how far we get. But
and I did want to. I did want to say we do have 10 fully funded students, but we have about 20 who have gotten some funds towards their college education.
So you still may get to 100 by the fall.
Yeah. What's amazing is that almost all of the students who have posted their profiles on the site are going to the CSU or UC schools, and so the tuition needs, especially for the CSU schools. Sometimes they're quite modest. The student might only need $3,000 or $4,000 to be able to attend school in the fall. But in a large portion of these cases, a lot of the students, if they don't have that $3,000 or $4,000, that means that they defer for a year and they work to try to save that money. It's really a dicey situation where they're scrambling right now in the next 3-4 weeks to try to put it together. And if not, that means that they defer. And when students defer and they take a year off, then their chances of actually attending school and finishing start diminishing. And so we're hoping all the students that have worked incredibly hard to get into college, that are ready to go in the fall, can just, without skipping a beat, attend. And we think if we can, interest a few hundred more people in, let's say 200 people donated $200, we'd be able to send another couple dozen students to school. And I don't know if I did my math there right, but what's amazing is just that these students are really, they've already saved some money, they've gotten what aid they could, and now it's just like this last gap. And Miel herself went to a few different community colleges and then stopped and had to work for a number of years to put her tuition together, so her story is indicative of the issue at hand.
It's true. I got admitted to a State University of New York, and I just needed $2,000 more that my family couldn't afford. So I ended up going to community college, dropping out, going to community college again, dropping out, and then working for about 4 years before I could actually attend.
Now, your story is like so many. And now, of course, community colleges have also gone up in tuition and the costs for what was once a feeder school, and once the school that for kids particularly in lower socioeconomic circumstances become tougher and harder. Let's talk a little bit about that, in fact, because there's some sense that there's a millennial generation now that does not want to be in debt like the previous generation, staggering kind of college-university debts that generation has carried and continues to carry. And so maybe this new generation is learning from the past generation, or so the argument goes.
Well, and there's some pretty sobering statistics about students carrying that debt, especially students who are the first in their family to go to college, have a much higher dropout rate in college when they're carrying student loans and they're accumulating this debt, and the psychological effect on it when before they're graduating they might have $30,000-$40,000 in debt and they see no light at the end of the tunnel, no ability for them or their family to pay it back, and so they drop out and they go into the workforce. And so there's a lot of these gaps in the system that, Scholar Match is one of many tools trying to plug.
Well, in fact, there are, I believe, and you probably know about these, Miel. Mm-hmm. Harvard, for example, is using now an attempt to take their alumni and match them with students. And mm-hmm. so this may become a wave of the future. I mean, Dave mentioned Kiva. There are a lot of models for this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are. And we're hoping that, we do, as Dave said, become a tool to fill at least the financial gap that some of these students have because of the loans that they would have to take.
Well, the website's getting hit by low-income kids exclusively or predominantly?
Predominantly, and that's also because we worked with the high schools, the beta schools that we sought out were the ones that, you know, 826 Valencia also has a relationship with and are populated by mid to low income students. But the website is open to everyone.
And, you know, picking up on your point, Michael, like what's interesting is over the years with there are scholarships at 826, every year all of the scholars that are have received scholarships, we have a big dinner for them and all and donors and board members and staff members at 826 and they share a great, you know, night with the students and their parents and family. And everybody's there together. And the students have said they feel this familial element to it. They feel like they have the support of their community. And they also feel like they have a lot of people counting on them to succeed and to finish school. And so that community aspect of it and that feeling like you have a lot of people on your side and rooting for you and counting on you is important, especially with a lot of the students who might be the first in their family to go to school. They feel like, oh, okay, I have all these people that are rooting for me, and that's why over the years our scholars at 826 Valencia always wrote diaries that we post on our website about their first year in school, and they were incredibly moving and inspiring, and, you know, they talk about their struggles and their achievements, and they feel really connected to a larger group of people that are all sort of invested in them. And so that's the other byproduct of Scholar Match, is if you have 10, 15 donors, 10, 15 people that live in your neighborhood and have contributed a few hundred dollars to your education, then I think that you feel that there's a lot of people sort of watching you and counting on you outside of your own family and extended family. So there's a nice sort of byproduct where we're all in it together. We're all going to chip in and, you know, making sure that these extraordinary students finish school is in everybody's interest.
Community, yeah. Rooting for you. Of course, not to put a damper on this, but one hears the argument, and I hear it as a college professor all the time. As much as we believe in college education, as much as people do better in terms of income and stature when they have a college or university education, a lot of students complain it's not getting them jobs. It doesn't help them in the marketplace. I mean, if they're in business, computer fields, engineering, and so forth, yes. But even now, for example, students go to law school, find themselves deeply in debt. They go out, there aren't jobs for lawyers, or they're laying them off and so forth. What about the that and the calculus of this whole thing? How do you see it?
Well, I think that, you know, I think that Dave's point talking about the community effort that it is, I think that we've seen a couple of just even byproducts in the short term. So we were able to fill the financial gap, but this connection between the donors also becomes a way to communicate with other members of the community, hopefully opening up doors, you know, for internships and mentorships. We had a celebration in early June for our scholars and our donors where they got to meet, and they got to we were able to have a human aspect to, you know, a lot of the online processes. And there were a couple of awesome byproducts. One is that the donors got to meet their students and felt even more invested in them. And then also there were peer-to-peer networks that started blossoming. So there were some students that were all going to Berkeley in the fall. And so they became peer-to-peer networks. And I think those kinds of building blocks of emotional support could also lead to that kind of.
It's very exciting stuff. Let me do this. Let me open the phone lines because I'd like to hear from you, our listeners, your thoughts about what we're talking about here with Dave Eggers and Mila Algary. The idea that you can actually go online, find a donor, and help with the college education for those in need. And that's exactly what this project is all about. And in fact, you may hear from some students in the course of this segment who are in that position or some people who would like to take on the role of donors. We welcome your phone calls. Whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius, feel free to join us now. Our toll-free number is open and available to you. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your involvement and interaction in this program, so feel free to call now, 866-733-6786. You can also send an email to us, forum@kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. And Dave, I don't know how many listeners are familiar with 826 National, which started in San Francisco, and perhaps you can talk a little bit about that and how it fits in with this mission.
Well, Scholar Match is a project of 826 National, which is this the overseeing governing body that oversees and connects all of the centers, under the A26 name. We have similar centers as the one that we have in the mission in seven other cities, from Boston, D.C., Seattle, L.A., et cetera. And so A26 National connects all of them and, you know, sets standards for all of the programs and ideally raises money for all of these individual programs and then, sponsors projects like this. And so ideally, Scholar Match will be serving all of the students that we work with at A26, but also students that from the city at large, the community at large.
And Miel Alegre, when you were struggling through to pay your way through college, did you know you'd be doing this kind of work?
No. I'm happy to be doing this kind of work. It was fortuitous, to be sure.
How did it happen?
I worked at A26 Valencia. I'm a previous employee of A26 Valencia. And then Dave was talking about this project. And the funny thing is I have web experience having worked at Powell's Books in Portland, Oregon, working in there.com. And so he said, oh, I'm starting this new website. I need a little bit of help. And then it all just kind of came together.
Fortuitous. It sounds almost like Kismet was operating or something. Let's go to your calls here. And Sam, we begin with you. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to commend you guys for your work. That's incredibly special what you're doing. I'm a product of the community college system, actually a high school dropout. And just recently this semester finished up at Berkeley as an honor student.
All
and
right.
It's thankful to a lot of scholarships that I received. Thank you so much.
Well, congratulations.
Awesome. Yeah, all my siblings went to the UC schools and in a few cases had to do community college in between too. So I know this system so well and we've navigated it so well. But you know, you need a lot of support to get through, especially with these schools that with 42,000 students or something. I went to a big state school too. You need people out there on your side and mentoring you. And at the very least, a lot of these students that are already up against, you know, pretty significant odds when they have to work on campus jobs to make ends meet, they have to take out loans, all of these things, and do this full course load. We're making it exceedingly difficult for a lot of these students that want to go to college and should finish school. We're making it as hard as we can for them to graduate.
That's why I mentioned the NPR story, because it's alarming to think that there are students who can't afford housing, literally cannot afford it. They're homeless, and they're on campuses, and they're trying to get a college education. Also can't afford to eat in many instances.
Yeah.
They're just getting by.
Well, there was also that statistic that says that now the U.S. is 12th among industrialized nations in college graduates. Of those who are between 25 and 34 years old, we're 12th. We used to always lead the world in number of college graduates, and we're falling fast, and I think a lot of it is because of all of these obstacles that we put in the way.
So potential donors out there, are you listening? Because, I mean, this is really good for the economy is what we're finally saying is the bottom line. And let's go to more of your calls. Larry, join us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is a wonderful, wonderful program. And Dave, I saw you interviewed by John Carroll earlier this year, and I think you're a heartwarming work of staggering insight. So thank you for all you're doing. My question is, what kind of means or lack of means testing is done on the students for eligibility? So are we helping the most needy or the moderately needy, or how does that work?
Well, we in each case, the student posts their profile, and then it doesn't go live until we have checked with their high school, and they have to fill out a good deal of information that isn't made public. And then we talk to their counselors at their high school and confirm all of the facts that they've stated on their profiles. There's a great deal of due diligence, and in most cases we have FAFSA forms and all of the financial aid information that they might present to any university. So we have all of that on the back end that we do, and so in many cases it might be a week or two between when a student will post the profile and when it goes live, because we've spent all the time making sure that all of the information is factual and that the profile is polished and verified.
Yeah, you work as good editors on that.
Yeah, it's a lot of back end work.
Larry, thank you. Let me go to a couple of emails here. This is from David, who's the principal of Oakland Unity. He writes, thanks to the Scholar Match program, Unity has a college acceptance rate of 80% for our graduating seniors, first-generation college students, and the cost of college with government assistance is still daunting. This is a great opportunity to bridge the financial gap for our students. Our students will really benefit from this program. Scholar Match is a great program, and I think the concept will grow as the idea spreads. Thanks to Dave Eggers, 826 Valencia, and the Scholar Match staff.
Can I just say that I spend a lot of time at Unity, and I have a few of my high school students are from Unity High School. And that is an extraordinary school up in Oakland, and it's only been around, 10 years or something? And it's small. Class sizes are small. I've talked to them about, they've done reading groups, and I've never encountered like a more like brilliant, concentrated, passionate and student body, and they're really proud of their school. And so we have a couple of our first students that we funded are from Unity High, and we hope to have many more.
Another listener named Don writes, are donations to students and student scholarships tax deductible? I think the answer is definitely yes.
Yeah. They're tax deductible, but if you earmark your donation, IRS prohibits you from earmarking tax deductible donations for individuals. So if you choose to earmark it to one student, you cannot get a tax deduction according to federal tax law. So that's why you might say, I live in the Mission. I would love if my $100 went to a Mission student, and then we can make that match, and then you can take a tax deduction. But if you choose a name and a student, then you forfeit the deduction.
A listener wants to know, how much does the foundation deduct for expenses?
None. We right now 100% of your donations go directly to the tuition of the students, and we fund our operating costs elsewhere.
And we go to Crystal. Good morning. Welcome.
Yes, good morning. First of all, I wanted to say I love the Pirate Shop on Valencia. I live right around the corner. Thank you so much. I work for College Track, which is an organization that was actually featured, Michael, on your program maybe a few months ago.
Yes.
We have a center in the Bayview, and to date we've sent 400 students to college, Bay Area students, and we have over 90% of them who are still enrolled or who have graduated. And I just wanted to share something we had learned, and I wanted to open it to a discussion. So some of the California state schools and some of the University of California schools are better for our students, low-income first-generation students. So, for instance, CSU Sonoma and CSU Chico, 100% of the kids we've sent there have graduated, whereas other CSUs, the graduation rate is more like 33%. So our students struggle with the same types of questions you were describing, but we're trying to orient them towards colleges that provide more of the environment that leads to success. And I wanted to know if we're doing some of that work, too.
Absolutely. And I want to say also, we love College Track, and we've worked with them for many years, everything from with college essay writing. And we have a few of the same students. Mm-hmm. Our first student named Eddie, who is from Oakland, was a College Track student, and we helped him finish the funding for his first year. And we end up being partial mentors to these students. We started in May, so a lot of these students have already chosen where to apply. But in terms of picking which college to go to, Miel has a lot of information. Everyone else at A26 has a lot of information, and we can help orient them, just like our caller was talking about. And Sonoma State is a fantastic school. One of our earlier Valencia scholars is there, and now he's interning as a mentor at A26 for smaller kids, and he's doing fantastically well. But yeah, come January, we'll open up at 849 Valencia, right across from A26 with a storefront, and that'll be a drop-in mentoring, college essay writing, and guidance center for any students that are matriculating and need advice, and they can fill out their profiles there, but also get general college advice.
And
but,
just like
Miel, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just like Dave said, we started just a few months ago, and one of the things that we already knew going into it is that when students fill out their profiles, it's not just looking at the information, verifying the information, and sticking it up there. It really has been a lot of one-to-one communications with the students themselves. So we do foresee talking to them and helping.
To make the students appealing to the donors. I mean, that's the reality of it, isn't it? And plus, there is the necessity of trying to find a good fit for a student as far as where that student belongs in terms of college. So you're providing quite a extensive kind of service here. Let me go to more of your calls. Mark, hi, you're on.
Hi. I just want to give a shout out to the folks who set up the program. It's excellent. I had the opportunity a number of years ago to set up a scholarship back in my hometown, back in Minnesota, about 7 years ago now, and we're on our seventh scholar. And it has just been a very incredibly rewarding experience for me personally to be able to keep in contact with these folks. In fact, we just had our first scholar actually move out into our garage, and he's looking for a job now in the Bay Area. And it's just the contact with each of these students throughout their years and watching them grow and sort of giving another piece of advice outside of adult advice, outside of their parents, was just, I think they found really rewarding. And I've just been really overwhelmed at my experience in doing that.
Well, good of you to mention, and thank you for the call. I don't know, are you familiar with David Guggenheim?
Yeah, Davis Guggenheim.
Yeah. Because my daughter used to do work for him. He's taking kids like preschool and just work with them right on through, and if they make it through the program, they wind up having their college education paid for.
Yeah, there's so many great programs. There's First Graduate here in the Bay Area that tracks kids from middle school on and makes sure that they're on track. And you know, you need every program that you can get and use and maintain. So I think in starting early and starting a culture where the kids assume that they're going to college, and it's just a matter of making sure that they're prepared and where they're going to go. That's where we're at with all of our students at 826 Valencia, because they started 8 and 9 with us. And now we have our first generation of kids that are going to college now, because we've only been around 9 years, and now they're all going off. So if a number
smiling like a proud father.
Well, you know these kids since they're 8, and there's a bunch of students that we've known almost that long that are on Scholar Match, and extraordinary kids. There's one kid named Osvaldo, who we all know and has been a drop-in student forever, mm-hmm. and he got into Pitzer, and he's like incredibly smart. And but that's an expensive school, and he deserves to go to Pitzer, and he only needs a couple thousand dollars more to put that tuition together. And if he doesn't, what a tragedy that would be if he has to wait, defer work. I mean, it's an insane situation.
We get we're running out of time here, but Marcy is calling because she's ready to donate, huh, Marcy?
That's right. I'm ready to donate. I had problems paying off my loans. I went to school in New York, and it was not that much, but it grew and grew because I couldn't pay them off. So I'm ready to donate. I think you're a rock star, Dave. Love your books. And I need the website address again.
It's scholarmatch.org as one word.
Thank you.
And there's always links on all the 826 sites, too. 826valencia.org will link to it, but scholarmatch.org.
Thank you, Marcy. Thank you, Dave Eggers. Thank you, Miel Alegre, and congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you for all the good work you both do.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. And coming up, we're going to talk with the authors of Wherever There's a Fight, How Runaway Slaves, Suffragists, Immigrants, Strikers, and Poets Shaped Civil Liberties in California. Join us for the hour ahead. Thank you for joining us for this hour. And I want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.